Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you today with another message in our series, Encounters with Jesus. Stories of people that encountered Jesus and how their life was changed and what that means for us now. I have been watching the Chosen series on YouTube or via the Chosen app. And I just love the way that the disciples and Jesus have been portrayed. And it's made the Gospels come alive for me. And if you've not seen them, they are well worth watching. Since season one premiered in 2019, over 150 million times this series has been watched worldwide. And it's being funded by people watching, which is quite an accomplishment. Series two is now complete, and series three hopefully will be out in 2024. On that series, it really touched me the way you see Jesus walking with the disciples to go from place to place. And they had a lot of discussions and talks along the way. And not everything is recorded in the Gospels, but it just helps you to get a very rounded view of what life was like with Jesus. Today, we're going to look at Thomas. And my message is entitled, Thomas, What Are You Thinking? I wonder how much you know about him. And thanks, Dale, for that Bible reading and giving us a little cameo into Thomas's life. It's so easy to call him Doubting Thomas and brand him with that title. But there is much more to Thomas, and we sure can learn a lot from him and how Jesus spent time with him and how that encounter changed Thomas. I want to encourage you today that if you feel you've been put in a box, or you wear a title that you don't think really is what you're all about or long to be, then stay tuned. And my prayer is that you'll learn lots from Thomas today. Thomas is in the list of the 12 that were known as disciples back in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3. We don't know what his trade was or his background. The only thing we know about him is that he was a twin. And we know that because he's called Thomas Didius, and that's the Greek word for twin. He's first mentioned by John in chapter 11 and verse 16. Now, Jesus had heard that Lazarus, his friend, was sick, and he knew that he had even died. And he waited for a little while, and then he had a chat to the disciples and said he would go to Lazarus. Now, this was a very dangerous journey. They all knew that Jesus was likely to be killed. What a dilemma they found themselves in. And look at the words of Thomas. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." We see from these words just what Thomas was thinking. Such courage he showed, he was prepared to die with Jesus. We looked at this story in our series when Peter Keep spoke on grief. Did Jesus face opposition? Was he stoned as they thought it might happen? No, a great miracle happened when Jesus entered that place and raised Lazarus from death to life. And the family, wow, what rejoicing there was for that family as they experienced that. And Thomas was there supporting Jesus, and this must have been so special to them all. We see from this little verse here that Thomas is a thinker and he expresses his feelings openly. Last week, Alicia spoke of Jesus spending time with the disciples, and yes, Thomas is in John chapter 13 and he had his feet washed by Jesus. And the conversation went on for a very long time. It's recorded right up to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and explaining that he would soon be returning to his Father in heaven. And he reminded his disciples that they know the way. And Thomas speaks up, straight to the point. What is he thinking? Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And what a powerful answer Jesus gave to Thomas. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Wow. Thanks, Thomas, for asking that question, because that statement has been such a blessing to us over the years in our Christian life. And now to today's reading. Let me just give you the setting. Jesus has been crucified on what we call Good Friday. Jesus has been buried and placed in a tomb. And then on Easter Sunday, as we call it, Jesus rose from the dead and the resurrection occurred. We know that the women saw Jesus, some spoke to him, and they ran off and told the disciples. And now I want to take you, that's where this passage opens up, and it's Easter Sunday night. So the resurrection has just occurred and the story opens. And here we find the disciples were locked in behind closed doors. How many of them? John doesn't say at first, but we know there's only 10. Judas has already died and Thomas is not with the disciples. He misses out on this event. Those 10 disciples were fearful and ineffectual. They were living on the wrong side of the resurrection. What could they do but hide and discuss how desperate was their situation? When Jesus came and stood in their midst, this was no peripheral visit, but an assurance that Jesus was going to be at the center of their lives and he will be with them forever. And look at his first word to them, "Peace be with you." This is far more than just a familiar greeting. This gift of peace is the fruit of his salvation that he has won on the cross. When he showed them the nail prints in his hands and that great wound in his side, here is the visible evidence of the victory that he shared with them with his peace. Those scars are the marks that prove that crucified Jesus is the risen Christ. These wounds are also his credentials in ministering to all suffering humanity. They are scars that the church, his body on earth, must bear if it is to continue the authentic ministry of Jesus. And look at their response, these frightened men. They are overjoyed that they have seen the Lord. And now Jesus does something so beautiful in that room. He commissions these men. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." How amazing that must have been to those frightened 10 men. Yet more than that, they knew without a doubt the Lord is risen. And now the plot thickens. Thomas meets up with the other disciples and they tell him, "We have seen the Lord." Well, I don't know what Thomas was doing, why he wasn't with them. But he sure missed out on a one-off experience. Thomas, to put it in its perspective, then states his case. unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Have you ever doubted what someone has told you from their experience? I sure have, many times, I'm sure. But the one time that always comes to my mind, I'm taken back to 1994. I know, that's a long time ago, 28 years in fact. You know, as a family, we were about to move from Victoria to New Zealand to work with a mission. And my husband, Peter, went on a trip to New Zealand to check out the land. And he stayed with a guy called Colin, who was on the board of the mission that we were going to work with. Now, Colin was into computers in a really big way. And when Peter came home after this week of being away and was telling me about the trip and the people that he'd met and the mission and the work and everything like that, he then tells me this story. He said, "Kay, I sat with Colin at his computer desk and he sent a message from his computer to his daughter in England and it cost nothing." Nothing. "Peter," I said, "how ridiculous and far-fetched that is. Are you sure? You must have a missing link in this story. How could a computer do that? And how could it cost nothing? You must have it wrong." Well, did he have it wrong or was I wrong? Indeed, it was me. I did not believe his story. It was beyond my understanding and experience. Wow, where would we be without emails today? You know, Colin was amongst the first to do that and to send an email because he was so much into computers. And he did that before we even were able to know that we could do that on a home computer. But it was true. What is doubt? It's a feeling of uncertainty. It's a lack of conviction. It's fear, being afraid. We can so easily self-doubt when we look inwardly and go by our feelings. And then we can waver and become very unsure of ourselves. You know, fear is emotionally based and can overpower our mental faculties purely by virtue of how it influences our emotional life. When I struggle with self-doubt, I take myself to what I am in Christ Jesus. What is my identity? You see, that's a fact. I know it from reading God's word, what I am in Christ, and it's not based on my emotions. And I find that puts me back on the level where I need to be. You know, all healthy human beings have an inner stream of thoughts and feelings that include criticism and doubt and fear. That's just our minds doing the job that they were designed to do, trying to anticipate and solve problems and avoid potential pitfalls. We need to be able to see the negative and the positive, weigh it all up when we look at the facts and move on. When it comes to doubt, it's a matter of recognizing that fine line between one extreme to the other and not allowing ourselves to be crippled by the fears that come with majoring on the doubts. What if? What if? We have many people crying that out to us right now with vaccinations. Yes, there are some questions we are not sure of the answers, but there are many facts that need to be considered as we weigh up the options. And we need to consider the much bigger picture than just ourselves and our own rights. You know what? I still don't understand the science of how an email works and cyberspace. But I sure know the value of an email and how that has transformed communication and contact in our world. And just for the record, I do believe a computer can send a message around the world, and yes, it's for free. Now, back to Thomas. Thomas describes Jesus by the scars that he knows he bears. And this was the means of identifying people back in the first century. There are documents found in the Egyptian papyri in about AD 48 that list out a household and describes each member by their scars. Thomas wanted to be very sure that the risen Lord was indeed the Jesus that he had seen on the cross. Now, our next passage where we get a little more about Thomas that we had read to us today, that opens up in John chapter 19, happened 1 week after the first appearance of Jesus. A lot can happen in a week, my word, don't we know that here in Victoria? And so we find now the passage opens up. A week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. How come? We don't know. But you know what? I reckon someone who is nameless and we don't know has encouraged Thomas to come and to be with the disciples the following week. How precious is this? Where might Thomas be if someone had not come alongside and encouraged him? I want to pause here and remind us all that we need to be on the lookout for anyone who has doubts and fears, and take time to listen to their story and encourage them to hang in there and to have contact with Christians who too are just like them, at times fearful and have doubts, but are working through their issues with Jesus' help. I am sure that in our church family, there are people just like Thomas, who need someone to come alongside and encourage them in this season of COVID that we all find ourselves in. It's not easy and not what we would like, and we may well be very afraid and not able to predict how it will all work out. And my, how precious is the faith of someone who might just be one step ahead, but who encourages us to keep on growing in our faith. Peter and I have been doing some walking. Just a couple of Ks is my limit. And last week, on a really nice day, we went for a little longer. Oh, it turned out to be 3.9 kilometres. Wow, that's a lot more than a couple. On the way home, it was really steep and I was getting weary and ready to give up. Peter was about 10 paces ahead of me, and every now and then he would stop and wait till I caught up to him. I said to him when we got very near to home, "I am so glad that you were ahead of me. I know I would have given up and just stopped if you had not been ahead and giving me that encouragement. You know, without him being there, I might still be on the side of the road somewhere in the streets of Ringwood trying to get my legs going again, and I wouldn't be here this morning." Let's be very mindful of those who are behind us. Take a look and encourage them on. Well, 1 week later, here is Thomas in with the disciples. And notice the detail. The door is still locked. Yes, the disciples are still fearful and Jesus appears. I love it in the kids' story where they said Jesus came just for Thomas. And that may well be true as the story unfolds. And Jesus gives the greeting of peace to them again. And then Jesus speaks directly straight to Thomas. And Christ offers to Thomas that he is very welcome to touch and to confirm that it is him. Stop doubting and believe, Jesus said to Thomas. Did he need to touch? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say whether he actually physically put his hands in the side and used his finger to point to the to touch the nail things. But we do know this. Thomas readily repented of his doubt. He clearly tells us what he is thinking. And he confessed Jesus to be his Lord and his God. Such powerful words that remain with us today. My Lord and my God. We read in the New Testament two more times about Thomas in the Bible. In John 21, when six other disciples encountered Jesus after a night of fishing, but they caught nothing, Thomas is with this group. His name is mentioned. And he gets to have breakfast with Jesus on the beach. I wonder if the someone who encouraged him was also on that boat and was still encouraging Thomas. We may never know the answer to that question, but we see in Thomas's life the huge impact of that whole experience that he had with Jesus. And in Acts 1, he gets another mention when all of the 11 disciples were together and Thomas' name is listed, he is there. How good is that? And he was there when Jesus returned to heaven. And then there's no more references to Thomas in the New Testament. But history tells us, and it is recorded in the 4th century, that Thomas travelled to India and shared his faith and actually was martyred in India. Have a look at this map of India and see where Thomas founded 7 churches. How amazing is that? What a man of faith and drive Thomas became. I find it very interesting as I reflect on Thomas and India because my mind went back to a few years ago when I was in India visiting, not in South India, I was actually in the north of India, and I met a man who was on the board of the mission that I was visiting, whose name was Thomas. And yes, he was named after the disciple that we've been looking at today, Thomas. Thomas actually founded the churches in Kerala, which is in the south of India. And Thomas's family actually were in this particular region. Thomas that I met was such a godly man, a man of huge faith. And it kind of warmed my heart as I thought about that and thought about Thomas and realized how years on, 2,000 years on, there are people being named Thomas, named after him, not because he was a doubter, but because he was a man of faith. And the disciple Thomas, his remains are actually, you can actually go and visit his remains in Edessa in Turkey and in St. Thomas's Basilica in Italy. Isn't that amazing? And look how Thomas's verse, "My Lord and my God," are featured in those churches that honor him. You know, when Jesus appeared to Thomas that week later, and Thomas spoke those words, "My Lord and my God," Jesus went on to say one more thing to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know what? That refers to you and to me. We have not seen the crucified Lord. We cannot touch his scars, and yet we believe. How blessed we are. We are called to live a life of faith, to be strengthened in that as we read the Bible, and to know that we believed. Last week, Alisa told us how much Jesus loves us. And as we see Jesus encountering with Thomas, my, how we see how much he loved Thomas. And he did not want to see him remain in his doubting, but to move him on to a life of faith and strong belief. I hope you realize today that there is much more to this precious man who dealt with his doubts and whose faith brought many into knowing Jesus. I came across this little poem in my research. Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkness, the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. How about you and me? What are you thinking? Let's not live with fear and doubts, but be all that God calls us to be. Talk with someone today if you know you need help. Don't carry baggage that you were not designed to be burdened with. Contact the church and I will follow you up. And if you've got doubts and fears and they've restricted your contact with God's people, deal with them. You are missing out. And are you the someone that somebody needs right now to encourage them in their walk with Jesus? Keep praying for them and putting your faith into action as you reach out, and you will become that someone. We might be in lockdown right now when it comes to shopping and sports and coming here physically to the church, contact with family or going on holidays. But our faith knows no lockdown when we relate with our Heavenly Father, with our Saviour Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, each one, as you choose to believe and to live your life and continue to encounter Jesus and all he wants to do in your life. We've got a great song now to finish with. It's called The Creed, and it emphasizes what we believe, what we believe in, the fundamentals of our faith. May this song affirm your faith as you prepare your heart for communion.